Hey guys, welcome to another edition of Happy, Sad, Confused. I'm Josh Horowitz. For those of you that have been listening to the podcast, thanks for continuing. And for those of you who are new, welcome aboard. This is a good place to start off because this week's guest, every week we try to talk to some of the most interesting actors and filmmakers working today, and this week's guest certainly fits the bill. Since I started the podcast, a few names have definitely, you know, bubbled up on Twitter for people that people want me to talk to, and I am very happy to deliver one that has been very much requested. This week's guest is, of course, Kristen Stewart, who, she's still so young, but has just crafted such an amazing career. I mean, even, you know, throw away the Twilight movies, which you shouldn't because they are a huge part of pop culture in the last 5-10 years. But, you know, films like Panic Room way back when and Into the Wild, Adventureland, and three movies that we actually touch on here today all speak to her talent in front of the camera and her interest and willingness to push herself in really cool areas. Kristen is certainly unique. I've had a chance to probably, I feel like I've talked to Kristen Stewart maybe more than any other journalist on the planet, thanks to MTV's long coverage of Twilight. And it's been great to kind of get to know her over the years and to see her grow. And hopefully you're going to hear a more candid, relaxed Kristen than maybe you're expecting to. Sometimes on talk shows, she can seem a little bit ill at ease because, frankly, that's not her favorite place to be. But this is an extended conversation, and I think you'll get to know the Kristen Stewart that I know a little bit in this one. Three movies I want to mention here, one of which is coming out pretty soon, Camp X-Ray, which is a really interesting small film Kristen did about her the character's experience as a Guantanamo Bay guard. That comes out October 17th in limited release, also on VOD. I also got a chance to see a movie called Still Alice, which you guys are going to hear a lot about, which opens up in December with Kristen and Julianne Moore as a woman with early onset Alzheimer's. Alec Baldwin's in it. It's a really heartbreaking movie, but a really well-done one. And we also talk a little bit about The Clouds of Sils Maria, which has been kind of doing the festival circuit, in which Kristen is great, and she plays the personal assistant to a big movie star, played by Juliette Binoche. So it's kind of cool to see Kristen back in kind of like independent film, the independent film world, a world she's definitely comfortable in, and just a treat to have her in my office to shoot the shit a little bit. I hope you guys enjoy this conversation. As always, hit me up on Twitter. Tell me what you think. Spread the word. My Twitter handle is Joshua Horowitz, and subscribe to us on iTunes, okay, guys? But without any further ado, here is the lovely Kristen Stewart.
Are you taking me in my office? What are you
spying? It's interesting. This is your office?
This is my office.
Oh, wow.
What do you think? Does this reflect me that you imagined?
It's cute. It's funny. Yeah. I'm in the lion's lair.
Wow. That's my nickname around Hollywood, the lion.
The lion?
Yeah.
Dude.
Among other things.
It's funny. Yeah, it's good.
Do you have an office? Do you have like
I do have an office in my house, yeah.
And what's in it?
Lots of keepsakes, lots of framed photos, like gifts off from movies and stuff.
Do you make a point at this point now for each film to keep a memento, or does it just kind of happen naturally where like you have something that just kind of emerges?
It happens pretty naturally.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get to the end of something and I go, I don't have anything. And then I make it a point to grab something.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, I know your parents obviously were and are in the industry. And I would think that given what they do and what they did, do you feel like that affected kind of like your attitude on sets? Like, do you have a greater appreciation of like the crew and sort of like everyone's role on a set?
Yeah, I mean, my first step into the business was solely because I idolized my parents and thought it was so cool that they went to work and came home with so many stories and, like, lived such rich lives that, you know, not everyone's parents can say that they, like, love their job the way that my parents did. And I was always so curious about what they did when they went off for 18 hours a day or when my mom went to Thailand for 3 months and then came back for six. It was like, you know, something that I wanted to be a part of. And so, I think also I would have done anything, you know, I feel like a crew member on movies. Like I hate that separation that sometimes is like forced upon, you know, people are intimidated and think that there's this dividing line between, like, you know, the actors and the director and the producers and then the crew. I try to abolish that immediately. As soon as I get on a set, it's like, no, man, we're all doing this together. Very much together. Yeah.
That must piss you off when you see, I'm sure there are experiences when there's an actor or whatever, we're not going to name names, but like when they're like holier than thou and think that they're
just awful. It just makes for a nobody wants to be around that. Nobody's going to feel proud and happy at the end of a day to think that we all contributed and did something cool and learned and blah, blah, blah. It just is like, yeah, it's a bummer. I've been lucky, though. I haven't really worked with assholes. a couple, but can't even remember. Yeah.
So what was the – do any of the visits to any of those sets of your parents strike a significant chord growing up? Was it one in particular that jumps out at you?
My mom worked with a director named Brian Levant for a number of years who did like kids movies.
A lot of kids movies.
Yeah. And so I was like, it was so, I was an extra in the Flintstones. Right. There was just one day where I was like, this is so cool. And he was like, go put on a tunic. And I was like, yes. I don't know, like Christmas movies. I remember, I think she did Jack Frost. That was really fun seeing like a fake snow set.
Well, tell me this. So, like, the first... Okay, so you had a bunch under your belt already, even by the time you did Panic Room, right? Mm. But was Panic Room something like the first one where you were, like, a key enough member where you're doing press for the movie and you're kind of, like, a part of kind of the talent, quote-unquote, that is helping promote it?
Yeah, I did one movie before Panic Room, and so my first taste of having to do interviews about movies was on that. And it started there. I was so scared. I just took it too seriously. I remember I did this interview in a surf shop in the Valley, like down the street from my house, cause like a friend owned it.
Right.
And I walked in and they were setting up like chairs and cameras and microphones. And like, you know, I was 11 or 12. Once the movie finally came out and we like started doing stuff for it, I was like, baffled by my responsibility to sell and talk about this personal experience.
This shouldn't be on me. I already did my job. Wait.
Yeah, it still kind of baffles me, but like it, you know.
So it was, what about the actual experience? Because I know you've talked obviously over the years a lot about Panic Room, but it strikes me like Fincher is not the typical experience for any actor. Mm. I just saw Gone Girl, which is amazing. I don't know if you've
seen it yet.
It's so good. So, like, at that point, did you realize, even then, having done a little bit before then, that this was an anomalous kind of experience, the way he obviously puts actors through the paces in a good way and does a lot of takes, et cetera?
Right. I knew because of my mom's experiences with making movies, it was definitely, like, an elevated, much more intensive, vigorous experience.
Yeah.
We shot for so long too. I was on that movie for like a total of 8 months or something like that.
Right.
And we rehearsed for 2 weeks. Then Jody came on. Like it was really long. It was like a huge chunk of. It was like a school year for me.
Right. Did Jared's dreads make an impression?
They
haunt your dreams.
Dream of, you know, maybe one day being able to pull those off.
That could be your next hairstyle.
Yeah. It'll be like Spring Breakers.
Exactly.
I'll get a grill.
Amazing. So what was, like, I mean, were you ever trying to, like, was the goal ever to do, like, a TV series or anything like that? Like, a lot of actors out in L.A. was like, oh, they need to get on the...
Right.
Was that ever part of it, or was that just something that even then you were like, that's not necessarily my thing?
When I was really young, before I did my first few jobs, I would audition for commercials and just anything that would anything
sure.
that came up. I was not good at it, and I wasn't into it. I had so much fun auditioning for movies. Even the year that I auditioned, sort of, you know, it sounds silly now. It was a year. I was 9, but I thought it was a long time. But like, you know, to no avail. I had so much fun just sitting with directors in rooms and auditioning scenes.
Yeah.
And I absolutely hated going in for anything that wasn't you know, like creatively infused with this energy. It was just like so obvious. Even when I was little, it was like
it was the early BS detector was already kind
of I was like, I really want to do a TV series. But I would have if I was young, you know, before. I just got lucky. I just started doing features really young, and so that's where I stayed.
So what happens or happened, like, when that kind of thing clicks in your brain for yourself or another actor in the scene? Like, do you like, scream out, oh, that fucking just didn't feel real? Like, are you, like...
Yeah, constantly. There are usually, typically at the end of a movie, like, at every rap party, there is a montage cut together for people to watch and laugh at of me just going, no, fuck, that was wrong, no, liar. Yeah, I can't go forward. And, you know, a lot of times, like, I'll have directors say, like, just hold it. It's fine. I liked it. You know, maybe you lost it for a second, but there was a chance to find it again. And if you keep cutting yourself off, like, you know, just don't be self-conscious about it.
It was momentum, probably, yeah.
And so I was like, I'm trying to get better at going forward with things that aren't working. But typically, it's better to not leave that bad taste in your mouth and feel silly. You never want it to be like, you know, you're treading on something that you... You know, there's an honor to it, and I feel like if you mess it up, it's like, ugh, let's forget that.
Yeah,
start again.
So, is there then an impulse or a push or a pull then to like push yourself way out of your comfort zone in something crazy? You know, say like tomorrow to do like the Judd Apatow comedy that no one would necessarily predict for you.
I would love to do something like that. I would jump in head first.
I would just
it's about like finding the right people. It's about being comfortable and knowing. Like, you know, it's... I just did a movie with Drake DeRemus.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love him as a filmmaker. His approach is, like, really... really coincides with mine, but also, like, I've had so many people say, we're going to have a genuine experience. You know, there's no expectation here. There's no pressure. Whatever we wind up doing is what the movie is supposed to be. This is us. Right. We're going to put ourselves up there. That is it. No one ever really follows through with that. There's always expectation. There's always that line or some beat or this emotional thing or, like, you know, he really likes to have an experience and then figure out what that is sort of like afterwards. And you know, so just impulse shapes the movie. And so what I'm saying is, like, I would love to do a comedy if it was like that
also felt,
because I would feel so much pressure. Yeah, I would just be like, oh, I'm not funny, I can't, I don't know how to. It would have to just be like, no, don't even fucking think like that. Do it. Like, so I'd have to be with someone really good.
So did the Drake one, was there a script for that? Like, what does it look like? Is there like an outline or a script? Because I know, yeah, he does have an
interesting pitch. He worked off a script just for the first time.
Okay.
Typically he uses an outline, but yeah, I mean, the script was sort of, you read it once to know what you're doing, and then we never, I mean, it was, the script sort of informed like what we were supposed to do, but never what we were supposed to say. You know what I mean? It's like.
And you shot that where, like Singapore? Where were you this summer? What was going on?
We were in Tokyo mainly, and then basically it was like a month in Japan and a month in Singapore.
It's going to be amazing.
It was incredible. It was like, I mean, it was like we were on vacation the entire time because we bounced around. We were like on Awaji Island and we went to, like, drove through Kyoto, and like I had never been anywhere but Tokyo. And it's like, it's one of my favorite places in the world. I love Japan. I love the lifestyle. I love the people. I've never encountered anyone that I had a strange, uncomfortable, disrespectful thing. They just really know how to live. They've got it all figured out there.
Breaking news. Kristen Stewart moves
moving to
Tokyo.
Our
loss is not good. Can I visit? I've never been. It sounds lovely.
Oh, you would really like it. It's so fascinating.
Kong. That was my first brush of Asia recently, and that was intense, but it's totally
different.
Tokyo sounds totally different.
So different, yeah.
It's like a city of the future.
Singapore is, for sure.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's only like 50 years old, and it's basically malls and skyscrapers that look like it's from Equals, the movie Equals. Like, it literally is it's a futuristic city.
Amazing. Yeah, my movie saturated mind. I just imagine walking into Blade Runner. I'm like, Blade Runner. Oh,
totally.
So we were talking about kind of like that, search for authenticity on a set. Like, does it also apply to kind of the actors that you've always kind of gravitated towards, whether as a fan or want to work with?
Definitely.
Like, I mean, like the Sean Penns, and you got to work with De Niro for a second on that film. Is that safe to say?
Absolutely. I have a lot of respect for people that can, you know, create characters that are entirely different to them. I just feel like it's a little psychotic and a little not real. It's cool. It's just not what I. It's not my favorite. My favorite thing is not to watch someone think of something, package it, and then deliver it to you perfectly. I want to see you like surprise yourself, and I want to see I want to see someone scared and like, you know. So I think people like that are usually a little bit more willing to do that.
So what are the actors that you've seen up close to actually like work opposite that of where you that goes through your brain? You're like, that's what the technique is kind of what I aspire to. What their bravery, et cetera.
Julianne Moore, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Juliette Binoche. Even though they are really different, their styles are their approaches are entirely different.
Had you met Julianne way back when you worked with Bart? Because that was
yeah.
Catch That Kid, right? That was Bart's film.
Yeah, love Bart. I love that family. It was so cool to work with her. It was like, you know, I've been really lucky. The women that have played my mothers in movies, I've just worked with insane, incredible people.
Truly,
but with her, like, I want her to be my mom. I love my mom, but I would like to have two. Like, it was so easy. It was like breathing. It was, yeah.
And let's talk a little bit about Sils Maria, which is great too, and I love your role in that one. And I can only imagine the fun you had with that kind of role. Mm-hmm. So Juliet, it makes you laugh just to think of it.
I know that one scene is just like.
there's some lines in there that just feel so like it must have just rattled something in your brain, like where this could just come out of my mouth anyway.
I was giddy saying the lines. Yeah. It was like it was tailored to me, but it wasn't. I mean, he wrote the script, didn't have me in mind at all. That was hilarious. And it was so interesting to talk about on set, too. Like, it makes the movie more relevant and interesting because you just sense that I know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
Rather than, you know what I mean? Rather than having someone just saying lines I don't really have familiarity with, like, I literally had to keep the smile off of my face. I had to keep, like, the blood out of my cheeks. I was, like, turning red. I was like, this is hilarious.
It's also awesome because it captures what must be a very unique, strange kind of relationship between, you know, actor and personal assistant, et cetera, where it must blur the line between friendship, but, you know, you're paying that person, too. You're in their employ.
Yeah.
Is that something that has been, is that weird for you? I'm sure you've probably had some help over the years in terms of like assistance like that.
Yeah.
Did that kind of.
My assistant was like my, you know, he became my best friend for years. He still is. Yeah.
Did it ever get weird? Is there ever a moment where it's like, wait.
No.
I'm your raise. Oh, you're my friend, but wait.
We just didn't, I want to work with him. I want to make movies with him. You know what I mean? It was just at a certain point, it was just like, you definitely don't want to be working for me, quote unquote, anymore. Like, done. Like, you're my friend. This is it. Let's, like, go forth.
Too. Yeah. Yes.
But no, it's weird, especially in this case with Sils. You've got a woman who's, like, really kind of lonely and isolated anyway.
Right.
And so codependent. That relationship is just, like, you know. They're both mutually fascinated with each other, and so that's like it is a lot more than professional, but that happens all the time. I see it constantly. Like, actor assistant dynamics are interesting. Like, they're everything to each other.
Right.
Literally, like, they fulfill so many roles, like fulfill so many through the basic relationships in life, like sister, friend, mom, both of them for each other. Like, sometimes I'm her mom, sometimes she's mine. Like, it really, you know, yeah.
Was Binoche an intimidating actress to work with? I mean, I don't know if it's the French thing or just her body of work or just her, the air about her, but to me, she would scare the shit out of me, I think, if she sat down here.
I mean, she would also like bewitch you because she's, you know, incredible. She's everything you fantasize about. Like, you're like, so she must be really heady and like, you know, eccentric and kind of kooky and intimidating and, you know, sits there with like her cigarette and her coffee in the morning and is just like everything you would expect that like iconic French actress to be, because she's so smart, like, and expresses herself in a way that is so not American. Like, it's like so lofty. And she reveals you to you. Like, it's like she pulls you right out of whatever.
She cuts through.
Instantly, everyone is just like, boom, boom. Like, heart is just, like, on the table. And it's a serious, scary, like, power. Yeah, she's a powerful woman.
Do you keep that kind of, that cliched, this is one of those cliched interviewer questions, I don't know why I'm asking it, but, like, that cliched kind of list of other actors that you want to, that you're dying to work with or not?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I'm sure that if we thought about it, that there's a ton of them. I want to work with him again. I love Michael Shannon, yeah.
Amazing, right?
He's so rad.
Talk about a presence when he walks in the room.
I know. Even physically, he's so huge.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So these three films, because, you know, there was a break that wasn't, I know, like, I don't think it was planned necessarily. Did these all come kind of relatively in quick succession? I know X-Ray was the first one, right, after a bit of a break?
Yeah. X-Ray I had read, and then we started making it. And the other projects I had, I think I had read Still Alice ages ago, and, you know, it's just some of these movies take some time to put together. And
did you shoot that one here in New York?
Yes. First time. I've never really shot a whole movie.
I was going to say, I can't recall you being here for a significant period of time like that.
It was great. I really loved it.
So what do we have to do to get you to move here? I know you're born and bred.
I love LA, man. I love it. I love New York, too. I'm here a lot, you know?
It just seems, knowing, again, to go back to the BS detector, maybe this is a cliche as a born and bred New Yorker, and I have a bias against LA.
You do, and it's sad, because it's so not full of S. Yeah, no. It's rad. Honestly, like, it has a bad rap. And I think that, like, most people that don't like LA, at least within our industry, it's because they go for work or they go knowing certain people. Like, you think everyone is in the business there. It's so not the case. Like, you know, you grow up, you go to high school there. Most people that you know have nothing to do with the movie industry or the music, anything. You know what I mean? They're just, like, normal people living in Los Angeles that are not fake, weird, Jamba Juice drinking.
I'm clearly hanging out in the wrong circles.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. You know.
Would you...
Just haven't tapped into the cool side.
Okay, give me a list of the cool places to go. Help me out. What about the prospect of, whether it's in New York or somewhere else, is theater something that you think about?
I haven't seen much of it.
There's something, the nature of what that is not jive with, like, your process, you think? Or does it feel like something you'll get to at some point, or not? It's just not on a list for whatever reason?
I think because I'm so not familiar with it, I just haven't really considered it.
Yeah.
I love working really hard, and I like consistent work, and I'm definitely not intimidated by the workload, but it's different. I like sort of, like, stints of
intensity.
Hard, yeah, and then done. And I also, I really, really love the privacy of it.
Right.
Not to say you don't have that in rehearsals and stuff, you know, but I would be willing to try it, absolutely. I think one thing I might love is to feel, you know, sometimes pressure is a huge, like, motivator. I think if there were 100 people in front of me, it would be like, you better go.
Right.
Like, you better go now. Do you know what I mean? Like, and so I would like to feel what that feels like. I love the continuity of it, being able to tell a story from start to finish every night and
go
have the entire arc experience.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
It's interesting, because I was just talking to somebody else about, like, they were asking me if I get nervous for interviews, and I feel like it's comparable to what you were just saying. It's because, and maybe you can sense this about me after these years, like, outside of interviews, I'm not, like, a necessarily social person, and I feel like I'm overcompensating everything by, like, putting myself in these crazy situations and crowds and stuff.
Yeah.
It's just, like, it's, like, psychically just getting through shit.
Totally. It doesn't seem like it's the most... It is weird. You're not, like, somebody who seems like they were, like, I am going to become...
Oh, yeah, I want to be Ryan
Seacrest. Exactly.
No.
No. Well, yeah. I mean, I can completely relate. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
Most of the time, like, not on a set, but when I'm doing any bit of press, like, I'm about to go do Fallon,
right?
And that 10-minute period is already, like, making my hands
sweat. Are you doing a bit? Or are you going to do anything, or just the interview?
Oh, I don't want to spoil it. No, I'm not doing anything. I'm just going to hang out.
Because when you do your first bit, you're doing it with me, not Fallon.
You got it. What do you mean bit? Let's do a bit now.
You know, I can't improvise. It's not a hot freaking...
No, genuine experience. Genuine experience. Just be yourself.
It will be a genuine experience, but we're going to riff. Michael Shannon, he played a non-sexual escort for me.
That is really funny.
He was amazing. And scary all at the same time. Are you...
Emma Stone blew me away when she went on Fallon and did that lip syncing thing.
Yes.
I've watched like pretty much all of them now on YouTube. I am honestly, I bow to her. there is nothing. She is complete. I've always been a huge fan. I think she's hilarious. But like, that was, I could never. There is just no fucking way in hell. I'm so blown away by that performance. Like,
I just saw her last night in Birdman.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, my God.
Is that a good movie?
It's the best movie I've seen this year. It's amazing.
It's somewhat of a continuous shot, right? I've heard that it's sort of like...
Yeah, and I'm such a geek for that.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
I grew up,
I love
like,
that.
I don't know if you ever watched like any of Brian De Palma's stuff. Like, totally. He was into all that. And this is supposedly one... It's not one continuous shot, of course, but it masks it throughout with some seamless editing. But the filmmaking, the performances...
That's so
Edward
cool.
Edward Norton, amazing. What are you... Are you watching much of anything? TV, film? What are you geeking out on right now?
I've been off for a week, so not yet.
So you haven't caught up on everything? What?
No.
Is there a list? Is there a TV show that's like, oh God, I better get through that? Because there is
telling
me.
I haven't seen House of Cards. I haven't seen that yet.
It's really good.
Yeah, I just worked with an actress that was on it too for a little bit. So
nice.
Yeah, I want to see it.
I would throw in Fargo in there. Which
really? That was so strange when I saw the billboards for that. What?
I know.
What?
I know.
And it's really good.
It's one of the best things I've seen in
years. That's one of my favorite movies ever.
And it's weird. It's not like a sequel. It's just kind of like a riff off of Fargo, which is amazing. Are you in your week off or in your downtime on sets? Are you writing? Are you kind of like playing around with stuff? And what kind of stuff? Like when you have your downtime, what are you trying to creatively do outside of acting?
Well, as you know, I write a lot of poetry, so I still do that.
And I have something prepared for you today.
I actually read one of them in Equals, and it like just made me. I was such a like vulnerable little moment for me.
No.
I was like, come on, just do it. It was cool. I wrote my short finally. There's just this little thing that I want to do, but
you directed recently for the first time. You directed the music video.
Yeah.
What?
Nothing. It was awesome. I had a great time. It was literally I just kind of followed my friend around for a bit and cut together like a short montage of like her life. And, that's it. It was really fun. I was in Nashville and L.A. and drove all over the place. And, it was awesome.
Between that and the Jenny Lewis music video, you're just knocking everything off the bucket list. There's going to be nothing left for you next year.
That was so much fun.
Was it amazing?
Oh, my God. I was at, like, that was another, like, just do it. Like, because initially I was like, I can't even imagine talking to her. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't say no.
Your performance in it is something that, like, felt...
I don't even know what that was going to be. She was just like, just come on. We're just going to hang out and, like, shoot some stuff. And I was like, okay, I don't really know what that means, but, like, I can't say no.
After I've talked about you in 1,000 interviews.
I can't ruin my life and say no to that. I have to do myself a favor and, like, just do it.
Right.
But, yeah, no, it was awesome.
Cool. Who was it? Anne Hathaway was in that. What was Brie Larson?
Brie Larson,
like,
yeah.
She's amazing, too, right?
She is so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a really good day. Rad chicks.
Rad chicks all around.
Yeah.
So what... Speaking of rad chicks, like it struck me whenever like this got a lot of attention when like Emma Watson went out in front of like the UN and made this amazing speech, it got all this attention.
Yeah, that was cool too.
Amazing, right?
Yeah, she's awesome.
Do you feel like at this point, like, are you? I mean, you've been through such like a crazy ringer in terms of media insanity. Like, do you feel like you could ever do something comparable to that at this point? Like, would you feel comfortable being more outspoken in that way, whether it's whatever issue is you're into at the time? You know what I mean?
Right.
Or does it feel like it's just not you? And again, you need to be you at the end of the day.
Right. I would love to like spearhead projects, and I would love to fund certain things. I'm never going to stand up in front of the UN and make a speech. That's just really probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know.
Because I had an offer for
unless
you.
Something
that's
happened.
A shame.
Yeah. You know, I respect the hell out of her. I think that was awesome.
Yeah,
I mean, you can like affect change without being
there are 1,000 ways.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, who knows? Maybe something will happen and I'll feel, you know, moved to like, you know, shout from the rooftop something. But I'm not sure what that is yet.
When you got the on the caller ID or whatever and it said, like, Stephenie Meyer or Summit or whatever, Twilight, were you like, oh, Jesus, here we go again? Recently? When they're
recently?
Late. Yeah, well, I'm sure they when, however they reached out to you and asked about the whole judging thing or whatever we want to call it. were you like, oh, my God, here we go again?
Mm.
Or what?
I mean, like, I'm fairly in touch with those guys. Yeah. So, yeah, it wasn't weird. I was, like, curious about it and, you know, flattered that they wanted me to be a part of it. I think it's cool. Like, I think I'm all about women in film, and I'm generally just kind of interested to see what people make.
Yeah. It seems like, yeah, and obviously inevitable that they were going to try and figure out what the logical next step is. And this seems like, oh, crowdsourced kind of thing. Let the fans figure it out for us.
Yeah, it's a cool little project.
Yeah.
I don't even know really what it – I don't know too much about it. I can't wait to see – I don't even
what
know, like, the
with?
Scale of – yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, how did they get the money to make their little movies? And, like, where – who are they? How old are they? I know nothing about it. I'm curious.
You may have noticed there's an Indiana Jones fedora on my desk, and that's
that
not
is.
For me. And it's filled with some random questions. You don't have to, don't worry. I know there are like 100 in there. You don't have to answer all of them.
Oh, okay.
So why don't we finish up with a couple of these and see what fate has in store for you. You ready, Kristen?
Mm.
If it's a bad one, we can do a different one. What do you got?
Zombies or vampires?
Oh, God.
Couldn't have chosen a better question.
Or a worse one, depending on your perspective.
Right. Okay, well, I don't really have an answer for that. Should drugs and or prostitution be legalized?
Oh, wow, provocative. They're not all that I don't know what is in your hand that's, like, picking these particular questions, but you're getting an interesting bunch.
You know, I think there's two sides to that coin,
okay.
Which I understand both. I don't know.
Okay,
I don't have
enough.
An answer for that. I wonder. I mean, it would be interesting to know how people would react if they weren't told no.
Right.
You know what I mean? It makes something entirely desirable as soon as someone says no to you. But at the same time,
the country isn't going to hell now that what a bunch of states have legalized marijuana. We're still standing. So there's that at least.
Right.
We need to finish on something softer.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe
that.
Not
Come
that
on.
One. When I was a kid, my hero was.
There we go.
That's good. I didn't really have one. That's the thing. I'm trying to think. Like, when I was in kindergarten, I wanted to be a rock star. And as soon as I turned, like, you know, 9 or 10, I wanted to be an actor. But never, like, I never was like, oh, I want to be a movie star.
Right.
It's always, like, way more into musicians, to be honest.
Nice. Well, idol worship can be a little dangerous anyway.
That's weird. Yeah, I'm really not into that. I was super into Jim Morrison for a bit, which was really funny. When I was, like, very, very little.
Probably too little to actually.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, I don't know what any of this means, but it feels cool.
That amazing Oliver Stone film, The Doors, Val Kilmer, he was Jim Morrison.
Yeah, he was great in that.
Right?
Yeah.
It's always good to see you, my friend. Congratulations on all the films, the 16 different films coming out in the next few months. Camp X-Ray, Clouds of Sils Maria, and Still Alice, which I know when people will eventually get to see. Everyone's going to love your performance in Julianne's. Thanks for stopping by the office.
No, man. Thanks for having me.